Would everybody introduce themselves, please?
I'm Jalinda. I play keys.
I'm Ashley. I play bass.
I'm Ray. I play the guitar.
The guitar.
I'm Mary, and I play drums.
And I'm Eli, and I play the guitar, and I sing.
I love what you said earlier, but we'll save that for later.
Yes.
Because all the comparisons of the vocals are the thing that all the reviewers spend 98%.
Well, yeah, it's true.
I'm giving away the end of the interview already, which is kind of a bummer. All right. So let's start with the important stuff, which is not the history. We'll get there a couple of ways down the road. But if people go to your website right now, all they get is a homepage and they get directed to other places. Mm. But they get that big red, you know, and all of that, which is, I stared at it for an hour. I really thought something was going to happen.
Like a little man was going to poke his head out.
I just looked at it. I thought maybe this is Flash and maybe this is what I'm supposed to look at for an hour.
No.
No?
No.
That wasn't the point.
No.
Interview blown. So what happened? Husband and wife, full band got boring. See, we'll circle back to 2002 or whatever afterwards.
Yeah.
But let's start with today. Full band got boring. I mean, I should say duo got boring, and you decided you had to add some folk.
Mm. We had never intended to be a duo. We happened to be.
You mean you never intended to get married?
No. No, that was intentional. That was intentional. I have a document to prove that. We got married before we were a band.
Yeah.
And then we were a trio originally and wanted to stay a trio, but we lost a member. So then we were a duo for a long time. But the intention was always to add more people.
But were you now, this begs to be asked at this point. It doesn't really beg, but I'll ask it anyway. Now, were you in other bands before you got married, or did you get married and say, oh, let's make music together, so to speak?
I was in about a dozen bands before I met Mary over the years, but none of them ever lasted longer than three consecutive shows. As a matter of fact, every single one of them lasted three consecutive shows without exception. So it was a curse.
Precisely? And,
yes,
three?
Precisely. Without exception.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then I met Mary because she played the drums. We were at a party and I overheard her saying she played drums.
And I was playing in a garage, basically.
Garage band in a garage or just in a garage?
Mostly just in a garage. I was actually playing drums with our original guitarist and just another fellow. But we could never manage to actually make it out of the garage. So we were just playing. And then I met Eli. Yeah, he heard that I was a drummer, and our first date was in fact playing music together.
It was
actually really nerve-wracking because we were like, it's one of these things where you go in and you're like, oh, if the music doesn't sound good, like the whole thing's not gonna work out, and you know, build up all the, but it was fine.
There's a terrible band named April Wine that had a song called Rock and Roll is a Vicious Game, and that was back in the 70s, but today it's just nutso, you know, forming a band, you know, lawyers, guns, and money. You must be crazy. So now I can track back to 2002. Is it before that or is that about the beginning?
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
So 2002 to 2009.
Yeah.
So that's 7 friggin' years.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a long time. So tell me just a couple of high points and low points, and then tell me where you think you are. I mean, other than at KUSF.
I see the whole thing as this endless trough, and we're somewhere just slogging through the trough, I think. No.
Wait, isn't that track number 14?
Yeah, slogging through the trough. Yeah, that's the bonus. That's the bonus trough.
That's the secret track, slogging through the trough.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yes.
We're... Mary, do you want to field this one? Because all I can think of is trough right now.
All you can think of is trough.
Your new band member.
Yeah, trough. Yes. Troughy.
Trough.
Let me see here. So the high point and the low point. Let me see. Well, a high point would definitely be last fall when we played the Detour Festival.
Yeah, that was good.
That was amazing. It was personally amazing for me because when we were sound checking, all the buildings across the street.
The City Hall.
They were reverberating my kick drum off it. And it was just like this huge sound. And I was like, had At least that was my personal high. I don't know about anybody else, but that was like, and I've been totally spoiled. So I don't know if I'll ever have that experience.
We had a really good show when we released the Don't Dance record where we got a gong. We brought a gong
that was
on
awesome.
And nobody, there was a little rug over it and nobody figured out what it was, which was astonishing to me because I mean, what else could it possibly be but a gong? Mm-hmm. And then we unveiled the gong and she played gong for
that was also
the whole song.
Kind of amazing.
That was good.
Yeah.
Are you happy not being signed or do you want to be signed?
Well, considering that one of our band members is very familiar with the music industry and tells us nothing but horror stories about it, I think we consider ourselves fairly well off right as it is.
I think there's pluses and minuses to, you know, either situation.
Yeah.
So I think we can, you know, we can keep going, you know. I think the most important is that we can still produce the music the way we want to have it produced and that we can go about the music, whether that be touring, whether that be, you know, actually the recording of the music, be able to do it our own way. And, you know, I think... You know, I think depending on, you know, who you sign to that, you know, you can still do that. But, you know, I think that's the most important is that we can still keep doing what we need to do.
We actually have a little band rule, which is we only make little goals for ourselves that we think are attainable. And we do not worry about anything else, because if we worried about things like that, we would just get depressed and it would be the end of everything.
Do you record mostly on your own? Have you gone into studios with real producers? It's a slick record.
Right.
It's a well-recorded record. So did you bring in a friend who's an engineer, or did you have the background? Or?
Well, no, we don't have the background. We did start off with a super DIY attitude, saying we're going to record everything, we're going to do it all ourselves, and we bought one of those things. We bought a reel-to-reel 8-track and put it in our garage, and we did our very first record.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the singles there on that thing, and then it all broke. And I was just looking around for a studio because we had these half-finished tapes, and I was just looking around for a studio where we could take the tapes, because I figured, well, I could either spend like $2,000 to fix all our equipment, or we can just get somebody else to finish it. And we found this guy named Raymond Richards, who records a lot of bands in LA, and he's got a little studio called Red Rockets Glare. And,
oh yeah, they're a little famous studio at this point,
and
well-known place.
And he was, it's a garage studio, you know,
right?
And I don't know, we hit it off really well, and we've done almost all of our records with him. So he technically produces it, but I mean, really, it's just sort of us saying what we want and him trying to figure out how to do it without making us look completely inept.
Part of the fun of DIY, part of the fun of the technology, you know, is that you can release a digital-only EP, but then you can release one track from the digital-only EP on a 7-inch single.
Yeah,
I just am a big... I was always a record collector. I never got the same feeling of enjoyment from MP3s or CDs as I did from a vinyl record. And that was always my big goal. As a matter of fact, when we first were doing our first 7-inch, my goal was to get the record to John Peel. Because I read, like, oh, he loves 7-inch records. And I was pushing and pushing and pushing to get this record out. And it was getting delayed. And right about when we were going to get it back, he died. Like, it was just a goal. I had to have a vinyl record out. And then once we made one, I couldn't stop.
Do you think if someone listens to this band and they actually listen to the lyrics, they'd know where you're from based on the lyrics of the songs?
Yeah, possibly, because we make a lot of place references to it. And there's a lot of references to car culture and things like that.
Like I said, it was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm.
And is that good? Do you want it to be like that?
It's not intentional, but I mean, instead of trying to write about big topics, we're just writing about our daily lives. So I think it's inevitable, probably.
Where have you played that you've said, oh my God, I want to play here the rest of my life? And where have you played? This is a triple question. It's a triple header. Where have you played that you've said, I don't ever want to go there again unless it's the last place on earth? And where are the next places that you absolutely positively know that you have to get your music to that it isn't being played yet?
Jalinda has played at a venue that I think we all want to play at.
Yeah, the Henry Fonda was amazing. I will always hold that dear to me and hope that I will be on that stage again with the Monolators it's like a dream come true. I just felt like for the first time in my life, this is where I'm supposed to be. And it feels great. I wasn't afraid. I just felt like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Oh, that this is it. I forgot that, you know, I was working towards something.
Yeah, we were defined by this place, which we still play, and we're going to play there next month, called Mr. T's Bowl in Highland Park.
Yep. Yes, I've read about this.
Yes, yes.
It's refer to it also.
Yeah.
I was probably playing one of the songs, a song about Mr.
T's. Yeah, Mr. T's Bowl. We're going to play a song about Mr. T's Bowl, I think. And that was, for the longest time, that was the only venue we could play at. It was the only venue that would book us. And I've spent, I don't know how much of my life there.
I've heard everything from the White Stripes, which was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
to my good friend Jonathan Richman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And maybe I'm nuts, but I don't hear any of that. So when people try to do that, do you pay any attention or do you just say, forget about it? We don't really care.
I think some of it is probably pretty accurate. I mean, I think our earliest stuff, the Jonathan Richman influence, was really strong.
Is it because of the way you sing? Do you think that they try to do that?
There's that, but that, I mean, that's the only record I was listening to, that first Modern Lovers record, when we were doing our first record.
We've had some really wacky, notations or whatever, but so that's why I think at a certain level we're like, yeah, whatever.
I think it's great though. I think that it's great that people try.
Yeah.
Because they're so far off 98% of the time.
Sure, sure. Oh, no, I appreciate that. And I do the same thing to my friend's band, so, you know. Yeah.
So before we get to the infamous session that we've been talking about for hours, we do a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And what a musical sandwich is, and everybody gets to play our little game, it's two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.